I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's that time of the week where we are here to disappoint you. The same thing we do every week.
I was going to do a deep, not really a deep, but like a deep cut into myself and make a joke about, disappointing sexual life.
But both of us, though?
I don't know. I mean, I was just going to speak for myself.
You can speak for both of us.
Okay.
That's probably fair. The same.
There you go. The Disappointment Podcast. Lucky for you.
Welcome.
You can turn us off.
That's true. You could just stop right now.
It's another week, which means it's the Gamers Who Podcast, your weekly roundup of news and commentary related to the video game industry and anything else that might pique our interests. Peaky McPeakerson.
Like some new releases, Matt.
Whoa.
Believe it or not. Number one, Project Appadom for the PC. Number two, Agatha Christie, Hercule Poirot?
Sure.
The London Case for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number three, Daymare 1994 Sandcastle for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox. Number four, Goodbye Volcano High for the PC and PlayStation. Number five, Samba de Amigo Party Central for the Switch. Samba de Amigo! Number six, critically acclaimed Sea of Stars for the PC, PlayStation, and Switch. Number seven, Under the Waves for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Number eight, Bus Simulator 21, Next Stop, Official School Bus Extension for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox. That's the longest title I've ever heard for a bus simulator. That is Bus Simulator 21 and not labeled clearly after the year it came out.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Number nine, Call of the Wild, The Angler for PlayStation and Xbox.
We be fishing now?
Yeah.
Branching out.
Number 10, It's a Wrap for the Switch.
Do you wrap presents?
Burritos.
Okay. Which is also kind of a present.
Injuries.
Okay.
Number 11. This podcast. Number 11, Necro Boy, Path to Evil Ship for the Switch. Number 12, Pocket Bravery for the PC. Number 13, Somerville for the PlayStation. Number 14, Taito Milestones 2 for the Switch. Number 15, The Tenants Pets DLC for the Switch.
Are you a landlord in that, or are you a tenant? I don't know.
One way to find out. Number 16, Trine 5, A Clockwork Conspiracy for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. And number 17, War Hospital for the PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. And number 18, Starfield hit Early Access, so... Well, early access. It's out for early access for 1 week and then officially releasing next week.
So it's half out.
It's half out.
If you
want to pay for it.
Pay for it, yeah.
So, hey, there we go. So many options.
Mm-hmm. Lots of good ones this week.
I've played a little Sea of Stars, about like an hour or so. We'll see if I continue. It's a JRPG that is in the old veins of like old Final Fantasy, Chrono Trigger, that type of Super Mario RPG, that type of stuff. And I think it...
What's its stick? What makes it so special? Do we know?
I don't think I'm far enough yet to have found out. The combat and whatever was fine. I didn't have any problems with that. But like the first hour, it was just JRPG stuff. So where it's story.
Is it a JRPG story, as in like it makes no fucking sense?
No, no. I'm not having to defeat chaos yet. Okay. I'm not having to defeat a concept. Does that make sense?
No, that's 100% on point.
I think that's my favorite part about JRPGs, that you have to defeat an idea.
You either defeat a concept or you have to become a concept, it's all this idea shit.
You have to become the chosen one. What the fuck does that mean? The chosen one to work behind the subway, to become a sandwich maker at Subway? Like, what are we doing here? You must you must stop ambivalence. What does that mean?
Japan. Classic. I'm just like
gassy.
Well, that, yeah, for sure. I'm just off.
It is one of those days. It's gotta be one of those weeks, a little bit.
Yeah, just been one of those lives, you know, just off my entire life.
Well, I don't want to get depressive about it, but yeah,
probably just should have been aborted.
Well, okay.
You feeling odd or even today?
You know what? I'm feeling even.
He's an even Steven today.
There are a lot of new releases,
which makes me an oddball.
No different than any other days.
Exactly. Number one, two motorsport game staffers have won their lawsuits for unpaid wages. As reported by Insider Gamer, one ruling awarded an employee $14,600 and the other developer won $10,000 from another case. The rulings come months after the staffers have threatened the studio for outstanding wages. The NASCAR Heat 5 studio is facing other cases for unpaid wages awaiting final decisions. One is set for September 12th and the other for September 21st. The latter hearing is a case for eight plaintiffs instead of one employee. This news comes after Motorsport reported a loss of $8.2 million for its second quarter earnings. The firm said it had $1.4 million cash on hand at the end of July. The firm is also in talks with a, quote, known company, end quote, for a potential sale of its NASCAR license. My guess is EA. For the potential known company that they are selling the NASCAR license to.
Yeah, so, so I like your thought process there. Because it's a sound thought process and it makes sense, as EA has owned it before.
Yeah. And they're reviving their whole EA Sports thing.
But what if they went to Embracer?
They could also do that.
Who didn't spend X amount of millions or didn't have the investment from Saudi, so they say, fuck it, NASCAR.
The moral of the story is Motorsport Games is probably not long for this world.
Maybe. Or, you know, it'll be more indie folks. I wonder how NASCAR handles the video game side of it specifically. Like, is there a relation at all to the F1 market?
I don't think so.
Of video games specifically, though. Like, is... hold on, I gotta finish this text before I forget about it. Because when I say that, I mean, like... Drive to Survive and F1 popularity has just been going up in the States specifically. Mm-hmm. It's already been big everywhere else.
Yeah.
But NASCAR was only ever big in the States and doesn't really hold any appeal because of how big F1 is everywhere else.
Yeah.
So now are the two graphs crossing in such a way where NASCAR's live popularity in the States might be high enough, but its video game appeal is minimal compared to all the other racing games you could have? That are potentially more entertaining.
Yeah, NASCAR has Formula One. The game is only as popular as it is because of Formula One's popularity and this kind of weird resurgence with sim racing, where it's like not specifically sim racing, but the idea of sim, like, you know, yeah, like, yeah, sim-ish racing. NASCAR doesn't have that.
I mean, they tried it a little bit during the pandemic. They did have, yeah, like, their guys do have racing rigs in their house, which is, yeah, also, which was cool to see, like, the, mm-hmm, racing rigs that the NASCAR guys have.
So, I don't know. I think NASCAR would need what happened to Formula One in the rest of the world, essentially.
I think they would need that, but I think it's the...
I guess they need a rebranding, is really what they need.
And then, for me, the joke of it's hard to mimic what they do in real life in a game. From an excitement standpoint, because it's not hard to say, okay, we're making a left turn here. You know, all my typical jokes I could run out there for NASCAR compared, mm-hmm, to every other race.
But I mean,
to simulate a 400 lap race in a video game where you can game it a little bit to the point where you're just going around in a circle eventually has to bore you as a driver.
I mean,
without
the way,
actually feeling the like the G forces and everything else.
The way to do it is to double down. The only,
you know what I mean? Like,
I could see it becoming popular in the sim racing community if they double down, as in they made it hyper. They tried to make it as realistic as possible. So you have to set up the cars. The tire models are really, like, rough. They do have high detail, high force feedback, so people are fighting with the wheel and stuff. Like, they'd have to double down on it being as, like, super realistic.
So when I was at Daytona 15 years ago now, oh, God. And I think they have this probably at other places and whatever, but I would love to see it in, like, a bar or, like, a Dave and Buster's or whatever. They have the racing rigs there.
Yeah.
That they put you in a car and... they're linked together, so, you know, there's like four banks, and then there's also the AI on the track, and you're all racing together and whatever. Those would be really cool if they were more popular, like, within bars, like rigs level sim seats to, mm-hmm, actually just, like, we're gonna go to the bar and race NASCAR style stuff. Yeah. Like, that would be very cool.
That would be. The problem with NASCAR specifically, in as far as the world is concerned, is it'll never take off anywhere outside of the U.S. and maybe Australia.
Even then, it'll be very hard in Australia.
It 100% comes down to real estate, because tracks, regular road tracks, can be multi-purpose and you get multi-use out of them. A NASCAR track, you can only use for NASCAR.
Yeah, it's multi-purpose. And then there's, you know, Australia. You're racing for F1 it on the street.
Yeah.
They just section it off, and, like, they've literally changed their actual roads to race there. Yeah. So it's not even...
They just have the room to have tracks that only serve one purpose.
Yeah, I know what you're saying for that, but I'm saying, like, the ease of being able to put in an F1 track or other road race track can be done much easier if you have the infrastructure to just say, we're shutting down this area of the city,
mm-hmm,
versus, no, I'm going to build this entire stadium and infrastructure that needs to support this,
mm-hmm,
one thing.
What's funny is a lot of the Formula One tracks in Europe had something that resembled, a lot of them either started as or had a portion of them that resembled a NASCAR track, and they were just phased out because...
Yeah, they were phased out. They started being used as testing tracks, yeah, then turned into professional tracks. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, even Watkins Glen doesn't even do NASCAR anymore.
I think they do. They started again 2 years ago, I think.
I mean, maybe, but, like...
Because Watkins Glen is actually owned by NASCAR.
Yeah, but, like, they had stopped doing it for a while because they, mm-hmm, were just like, it's not. But even then, there's not that many people that do anything with that place when they're not doing anything.
Yeah. I don't know. Racing's become so segmented. It's kind of like, I've it's kind of disappointing how segmented racing is now. There's no like,
and even when you get the Grand Prix racing, the racing that I like right after Formula One, with class styled and whatever, and you get the supercars out there. Le Mans is one of these options. But they're racing around F1 tracks or like the Nürburgring and Le Mans and all these other places that are built for, well, if F1's not here today, I guess we could just go take our brand new electric Lamborghini and go nuts.
Like the Porsche Cup. It literally follows Formula One.
Yeah.
And you have all your other Formula Series all in the same weekend. They just kind of like stagger a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it works too, because a lot of these cars, there's logistics reasons for it, obviously. But there's even minute reasons, as in like the benefit of having all these series racing in the same track on the same weekend means the track gets super rubbered in.
Yeah.
So, like, it just makes the racing better, and it makes it better for the cars. But, all right.
All right, let's go to number two. We had a few studio shutdowns this week, so here's the rundown of them. Me Games is calling it quits after 15 years. The studio today announced that the recently released Shadow Gambit The Cursed Crew will be its final game. The studio will continue to support Shadow Gambit and has a content update planned to launch later this year, but it will be ramping down the studio over the next few months. Me said it is paying employees a bonus to assist them as they look for work. So, it sucks that they're closing, but good that they're taking care of their people, I guess, on the way out.
Yep.
Awesome Knots developer Ronimo Games has reportedly filed for bankruptcy. An employee confirmed the bankruptcy on the developer's Discord server. Quote, "We got hit by a series of unfortunate events, Lemony Snicket, while working on our last project and weren't able to recover despite our best efforts." Developer Volition Games has announced its complete and immediate disclosure. What? Immediate closure. The decision to close the studio was attributed to an evaluation by Embracer Group as a part of its ongoing restructuring program. Volition Games' roots date back to 1993 and the formation of Parallax Software. The studio enjoyed immediate success with the PC games Descent and Descent 2, but in 1996 it split into two separate studios, Volition and Outrage Entertainment. Volition would go on to build its own name with the Free Space, Red Faction, and Summoner series, and in 2006 released the first Saints Row. Its last game release was 2022's Saints Row Reboot, which, whoo boy, that did not look good. Volition is also, I believe, thanks to Embracer taking care of their people while they find new jobs. Polish game developer Black Eye Games has announced that it's shutting down. The news was shared in the final season announcement for its title, Gloria Victis, and it was attributed to the financial costs of operating and developing the MMO. The studio added that the MMO servers will close down on Halloween.
Fitting.
Didn't even know that was an MMO, so.
Yep, that's all you need to know.
A lot of closures.
Yeah. Now for some layoffs, in case you were thinking we were being too positive. Vancouver-based studio Blackbird Interactive. What?
just the way the delivery of, obviously it's a terrible joke, and then just the, oh no, we're not letting go of everybody, just some people,
and in some case, most people. Vancouver-based studio Blackbird Interactive has laid off 41 employees. The Minecraft Legends co-developer confirmed the information in a statement to IGN. Blackbird was employing around 300 people, according to its LinkedIn page, with the layoffs representing roughly 13% of its workforce. A series of layoffs have reportedly been conducted by Embracer at subsidiary Gearbox Publishing. The wave of layoffs at the publisher started as early as June and appear to be ongoing, with senior business development manager Steve Gee posting on LinkedIn on Wednesday that he got laid off from Gearbox Publishing. These layoffs are a result of Embracer's restructuring program. Image, this is a fun one. Image, it's a play on Legendary, obviously. But it's also Imagine. Imaginary?
Yeah, you got it. I hate this word. No, you got it.
It just doesn't feel right. Imagindary Studios has deeply restructured with its future in significant question, according to a now former employee posting on LinkedIn last week. Imagindary was founded by former Blizzard artist Wei Wang. That's a real person, Wei Wang is.
Yeah, that is Wei Wang.
Wei Wang in 2020.
Imagine if they were German.
I'd be like, Vai Vang!
I like that you not only went for the correct part, which is why I went, the V's that I wanted, is that you went angry German.
Yeah. The studio never announced its first project, but it was intended to bring AAA cross-platform experiences to gamers worldwide and was hiring developers for a third-person action-adventure game. The studio was also advertised by a blockchain-based MMO called Age of Dino as backing the project.
So many layoffs. So many people out of jobs now.
Yep.
Well, you know what that means. Time to talk about poaching some talent.
Poaching. Poached eggs.
Xbox poached some PlayStation talent. Minasata Kato has joined Microsoft to lead Japanese partnership operations at Xbox. Kato will oversee global partnerships for Japanese companies at Xbox in her new role that she began in July. Kato previously worked for Sony Interactive. There's so much redundancy in this.
Yeah!
Kato previously worked for Sony Interactive Entertainment as Vice President of Business Development for 8 years. She became Vice President of Mobile Business in 2020 before leaving that position. So Microsoft getting people that have had success in Japan to come help them.
Yeah, they seem to be fostering that Japanese business.
I mean, it's somewhere that they have historically not performed as well as Sony.
It's true.
For obvious reasons. But
it's true. But as we're about to talk about, Sony is intent in shooting itself in its own dick.
This story better be great, because that's an aggressive stance to take versus just foot.
Sony has announced it will be increasing the costs of its 12-month subscriptions for PlayStation Plus. The change will be effective on September 6th across multiple regions. Quote, "This price adjustment will enable us to continue bringing high-quality games and value-added benefits to your PlayStation Plus subscription service," end quote. All right, now for the prices. PlayStation Plus Essential 12 months is going from $60 to $80. Cancel. PlayStation Plus Extra 12 months is going from $100 to $135.
Oh my God.
And PlayStation Plus Premium for 12 months is going from $120 to $160.
Oh my God.
Bold move, Cotton.
Hey, so Starfield is out next week for at minimum $10 for Game Pass.
Yep.
Just so we're all clear.
Yep.
That's all you need? Wow. I saw a tweet the other day, around the time this news came out.
Yes.
Dick shooting was accurate, by the way. So, well done. The tweet's idea was essentially, has Sony gotten too confident? Too arrogant, too cocky, too whatever you want to call it. They upped the price on the PlayStation 5. They upped their subscription stuff. They've dropped the Portal now. They haven't dropped the VR price. Like, they didn't put Bluetooth in the Portal. Like, all these things where you're kind of going, like, are you guys just getting arrogant where it's going to bite you in the ass in 3 years?
As you know, it's a cycle.
It is. And it's vicious.
It is a vicious cycle, especially if you're people like us who consume video games and have, you know, in your case, a well-functioning memory, in my case, a sometimes functioning memory. Sony is successful. PlayStation 2. And then they're like, look at us. We're the bee's knees. We're the cat's meow. We're the whatever, insert your fucking saying you like in there. And then they pull out their gun, they cock it, and then they shoot themselves right in the dick. Or, you know, if your case, if Sony is a woman, right in the vagina.
Aggressive either way.
And, you know, you get your PlayStation 3s. And then Sony's like, oh, fuck. We really fucked up that one. And then you get your PlayStation 4. And you're like, wow, this is not bad, Sony. What the fuck?
Like, shocked they can still do it.
And then, you know, you're riding high on play. You're just knocking out bangers left and right. And then, you know, you get your PlayStation 5s.
Which, technically, they still haven't been... They haven't started as bad as the PS3 did. Because that's almost, it's almost impossible to do that.
Yeah. I mean, and which is the true... I mean, it's... The PS3... It's a retrospect thing. I think when the PlayStation 6 is out, and we're looking back at the PS5, we're probably going to be like, that was a rough era. Because the PS5 launched, there was no games for it. We're just now starting to get games.
But that's they also true. The price that's also true of this generation, though.
Yeah.
Where 360 and PS3 are a little different in that regard.
But I think in hindsight, we're going to look at this generation and think that Xbox performed better than PlayStation as a whole.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to be removed from it before I think that. Because there's still a lot of things where you look at Xbox and you go, okay, what have you done? Other than, like, yes, you have good services, but why would I buy an Xbox versus why I would buy a PlayStation currently?
Yeah.
I think PlayStation still wins that argument for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the exclusives are better.
For sure, but...
But there are...
I think
that's at, like, the top of the list, and then... The pro-con list gets very different the further you get down.
If we're looking in my mind's eye...
Your third eye.
My third eye.
Brown eye.
I was also going to make that reference.
I was like, we're both going there.
The plot line, the line graph for PlayStation is trending down. The graph for Xbox is trending up.
Sure. I would agree with
In my brown eye.
Now, I can agree with that, but I can also say that there is always the chance that when Spider-Man comes out,
yes,
that downward trend all of a sudden jumps back above Xbox.
Oh, and
you're like, well, that's weird.
I just
and think, then it starts going down again.
Yeah, but that's always going to be the case. I think at this point, their exclusives are going to be good. Regardless.
And that's the thing is that their exclusives can reset that line position whenever they want it to. At the moment.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment. They're not dropping like Immortals of Avium as an exclusive. And not that the game was bad, but like they're not dropping that where it kind of comes out and everybody kind of goes, okay. Like when they drop an exclusive, you're like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm. I think the issue though is that Microsoft's exclusive engine that they've been working on for the past 5 to 10 years. It's starting to rev up.
And that's what we'll see. Because this is the... Starfield next week is the first beginning of that.
And if they can somehow get Game Pass more accessible, as in, you know, this... The fucking whatever stick we're always talking about or is being alluded to, some other piece of hardware that's more accessible, you know, where the xCloud becomes more prolific or something like that, then...
It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Number 6, Red Dead Redemption series writer Michael Unsworth has signaled his departure from developer Rockstar Games after 16 years at the company. The former writing director has worked on virtually all of Rockstar's major releases over the past 16 years. Notably, he's one of only 3 writers credited for both Red Dead Redemption games' stories. Unsworth is also credited for dialogue writing in Grand Theft Auto 5, 4, Max Payne 3, L.A. Noir, and Midnight Club, Los Angeles, and more. A lot of games in there.
Yeah.
A lot of narrative in there.
Rockstar's lost a few
writers,
a few key people,
especially out of that writer room.
Yeah.
Who, when they were writing Red Dead and GTA, whatever, were said to be doing like 16-hour days in office writing.
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm curious to see, GTA 6 will obviously be a good indicator, but the problem with Rockstar is you won't know if there's any effects for like fucking 2 decades because they release games so slowly.
Yeah, and like GTA 6 is probably far enough along written that you wouldn't expect it out of this one.
Yeah. But I have the sneaking suspicion that Rockstar doesn't, they probably haven't done a good job of transitioning. Like, they probably haven't developed writers and like handed it all along the institutional knowledge.
Maybe,
so
yeah.
Might get a little brain drain.
The old transfer.
Mm-hmm. Number 7. Lenovo has debuted its own handheld gaming PC to compete against the likes of the Steam Deck and the Asus ROG Ally. Can we just take a second?
Yep.
And I know there's a good reason for it.
Okay.
I have beef with the whole ROG branding.
Okay.
ROG, Republic of Gamers.
Yep.
I don't like calling it ROG.
Okay, what do you want to call it?
I don't have a better answer, which Gore. Is why I'm saying
Gamers of the Republic.
I just don't like, it's Republic of Gamers, obviously, but I don't like that it's always ROG and everyone always says ROG. Like, you've lost the fucking point of the branding then. Just drop it and come up with something better.
The only reason I would even argue for it is if they had one that said like Rob or Roe. Or like the Republic of Businesses, like their other branches for their commercial side of just Republic of Enterprise, and you're like, okay.
I mean, it doesn't really make sense because you're
literally just saying, yo, this is the gamer one, and you're like, what does that even mean though?
Yeah,
it's a sticker on a board.
I don't like it. Anyways, the Windows 11 powered Legion Go launches in October for $6.99. And it'll be available from Lenovo's site, as well as Best Buy and Micro Center. Its standout features are a higher-end screen and detachable controllers, a la Nintendo Switch. The display is an 8.8-inch touchscreen that tops out at 1600p and a 144Hz refresh rate. It can scale down to 800p and 60Hz to preserve battery life and maximize performance. Also announced, which is this one's even more fun. And it can also be used with some of Lenovo's other products, like their new wired Legion glasses.
Why are they wired?
Which the company also announced at the same time. The glasses enable a portable large screen experience with a micro OLED display that can push 1080p resolution at 60Hz to each eye. The glasses will set you back $330.
So combo pack for $1,000. Here's my initial problem. That says it's a wired glasses.
Yes.
Then follows up with the word portable.
Yes.
So really, is it actually the glasses that can only be used with the Legion Go and not the other way around, where the Legion is compatible with the glasses?
I think the glasses have...
I'm being pedantic, but you know.
Yeah, I don't. The glasses are not specific to the Go, from my understanding.
So I can plug them into my phone, presumably. Then
that's the weird part. It's like when they're wired. Like, what? Is it USB-C?
Yeah. What am I plugging into?
Yeah. I'm assuming USB-C. One would assume.
I mean, that would be logical because if it's USB 2 or B.
Yeah, or is it like fucking DisplayPort or something weird, you know, like...
Oh, mini DisplayPort? Gross. Mini HDMI. Really piss people off.
So, I don't know. I'm curious to see... I'm just curious. I want, you know, reviews. If people actually buy these things, I don't know. Is it going to be one of those things where, like, oh, the tech is actually good, but, like, it's not worth it, obviously.
It's not feasible at $300, yeah.
But as far as the portable device goes, it's essentially the Asus Ally.
Yep.
Hardware-wise. Other than the screen and controllers that we pointed out. So, do you have any thoughts, comments, concerns?
I don't. I was just pre-reading the next story, and I'm happy I got that one.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I'll preface the next story.
Okay.
This was going to be a one-liner, you know, just a single short stuff situation. Okay. But then the article I came across included a synopsis. So I was like, oh, this just upgraded itself.
Well, here we go then. I'm excited. A live-action, number 8, a live-action drama based on Pokemon will be starting in Japan in October. I'm going to repeat that so everybody understands. A live-action drama based on Pokemon will be starting in Japan in October.
You fucking buckle up for this one.
The show's title roughly translates to "Fill Your Pockets with Adventure." And will start airing on TV Tokyo every Thursday from October 19th. The show follows Madoka Agaki, a university graduate from a small port town who decides to quit her job at a seafood manufacturer and moves to Tokyo to join a small advertising agency called Adventure.
I want to be 100% clear on this. Someone took an anime concept and said, let's make it live action.
Anybody confused so far? It's straightforward. Although she used to dream about living in Tokyo, once she gets there, Madoka soon realizes everyday life isn't what she expected. And she starts to stress when she takes on a presentation that could result in the fate of her company resting in her hands. Then
it took me. Okay, I'll just.
Then Madoka receives a package from her mother, containing the Game Boy Pocket and copy of Pokemon Red she used to play as a child.
And everything changed.
She starts playing the game and realizes it contains something that's important in life. The show is billed as the world's first Pokemon human drama, in which the main character grows through their experiences playing Pokemon.
I don't know what the fuck this show is going to be. I'm 100% hoping that it gets simulcast on Crunchyroll or something.
I'm guessing, based on this synopsis, that it has 5% to do with Pokemon.
That's what, like, I was reading the thing and being like, when is Pokemon going to factor into this?
I'm betting it's one of those, like, she goes through a trial and tribulation in the game and then has that, like, aha moment in, like, a meeting in work and goes like, oh, I've seen something difficult. I know how to get through this. Or, like, those types of, like, weird, she plays that to relax and problem solve. Or the same way that, like, in Like a Dragon.
Hmm.
That Dragon Quest is referenced when he's like, oh, this, yeah, you got to level up in life and you get experience points or whatever. Like, I wonder if it's going to be that same type of motif and not bother with the idea that she's actually catching a Pikachu and like Detective Pikachu in real life.
The only other thing that I could say is that if we follow the anime tropes and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that she plays Pokemon becomes like a way that she connects with other people. So, like, she meets other coworkers who play Pokemon.
Like, they go Scott Pilgrim style, and she ends up in a Pokemon battle against somebody.
Maybe, yeah.
Her rival in the meeting across the way is, oh, well, he's really good with this. Well, then I need to use my type advantage of whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds like somebody wants to get funky.
Scott
Pilgrim's getting a new show, too.
Yeah. Yep, animated show, right?
Yeah. If nobody's ever watched Scott Pilgrim, and you're our age, you should probably watch it.
I think it aged really well.
Right.
It aged really well, and I would almost think that it's better now than it.
And there's a lot of people in it you do not realize.
It's fucking stacked.
Yeah, that casting is ridiculous.
For, like, it's probably one of the most stacked, like, films.
Almost nothing films?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out how to word it. Like, most stacked, underrated film. I don't know, I guess.
Yeah. It's around the time of Sarah becoming popular. Michael Sarah.
Yep.
So, he's coming off of his stuff. You're getting an early Aubrey Plaza's in it. I would say Alison Brie. That's not who I wanted. I wanted
Anna Kendricks.
Anna Kendricks. Oh, Mary... my God, Captain Marvel.
Oh, Chris Evans.
No, that's America. But he's also in
it. He is in it. Captain Marvel. Oh,
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. Oh, my God, I fucking forget.
Yeah, she's a holy pretty, shit. She's a pretty main part in it.
And then Mary Wins? The fucking...
Ramona.
Fucking Ewan McGregor's girlfriend there.
Yeah.
Fucking Culkin. Is in it, too.
Yeah. And what's his name that was also starting in a few movies that time who plays G-Man?
Oh, yeah.
But he was popping up in a few movies.
He's having a resurgence as well, or actually recently, because he was on a TV show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's just like everyone. It's kind of nuts. Whew.
Now I got songs from them stuck in my head.
It's a good song, too. So I'll try to hunt down this Pokemon show when it comes out, and I'll report back.
I'm so intrigued.
Should
get Amy to watch it.
Maybe.
Because if it's not going to be ridiculous, then it might work.
Maybe, yeah. And if it's live action.
And it's a live action drama.
Yep. It's time. Rumor Roundup. Yeah, here we go. Rumors. All right, so I didn't...
Just doing that like it's a fucking Michael Buffer. It is time.
Get ready to rumor. So I'm not going to sit here and we're not going to be like this leaker or that leaker or this leaker. Unless otherwise stated, all these are from, most of these are from people who have some sort of credibility with leaking. Like, they've been successful in the past.
I don't like the term leakers anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a weird term. We're all leakers in some way.
I shake it violently to make sure I'm not.
Just think about it.
Ever seen a wavy, wacky arm inflatable tube, man?
It's my penis. I wish. I wish.
We gotta move on from that joke.
Yeah, anyways.
Just keep going.
A Bloodborne remaster is targeting a 2025 release. The same source said the project is being headed by Nixies, not Bluepoint, and that they are also working on Horizon Zero Dawn remaster.
It's weird that it's not being done by Bluepoint after they bought them, and then so what? What's Bluepoint doing right now?
Shh.
Oh wait, we know what they're doing. Last of Us 2 remaster for the PS5.
The fact, the fact that every Naughty Dog game is getting remastered, what the fuck? And the fact that they're also remastering Horizon Zero Dawn, like, if that's actually turns out to be true, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, that one turns out to be true 100% because it's what they did with Last of Us. They moved part one up, so they're going to move part two. They're going to move Horizon 1 up.
I guess, but
Then if you're going to... My thing with the remastering of Uncharted is you need to remake them.
Uncharted for sure, but Uncharted
up to 3, you need to do the first three.
Uncharted you could make a solid argument and I would say okay. But like Horizon and The Last of Us, like,
oh, no.
You know,
no.
Even Bloodborne, like, I don't know if Bloodborne actually needs a remaster. Like,
the only way, the easiest thing they can do is they can say, here's the remaster that's also now available on PC. That's where they can win that over, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
If they're doing both, like, at the same time, like, in order to remaster it, they end up making a PC compatible.
All right, that's fair.
People would be pipe.
An Astral Purple Xbox Series X/S controller has seemingly leaked ahead of its official announcement. Here's a good one. Beyond Good and Evil 20th Anniversary Edition has received a U.S. rating from the ESRB.
What about Beyond Good and Evil 2?
We don't talk about that.
All right.
Doesn't exist.
What's
it's not
that,
real.
What's that terrible movie we don't talk about?
We don't talk about Bruno?
No, not the song.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Yeah, no, there's a...
We don't talk about Bruno.
Isn't there a book where they talk about, like, not talking about the kid? Is it, like, in the title?
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember what it's called.
It's We Don't Talk About Something, but it's like a kid.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Somebody
will tell me.
Yeah, I'm sure. Apparently, EA Sports WRC is launching on November 3rd. Reviewers and content creators are already playing Forza Motorsport. New Pokemon from Scarlet and Violet DLC has been leaked. And finally, Jeff Grubb heard that a State of Play is coming as a follow-up to the PS Plus subscription increases.
Gotta get the bad news to then hopefully soften it with the good news.
Yes. To be like, hey, guys.
Because if they did that inside a State of Play, that's all people would have talked about.
Yep. What was I going to say? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
All right, cool. We're going to questionable things then. A new report estimates that mobile gaming revenue will reach $108 billion in 2023.
Disgusting.
That is disgusting. Despite being available on Game Pass and PlayStation Plus Extra, Sea of Stars sold 100,000 copies on its launch day. Not bad.
They're pretty amped up about it.
Nintendo has announced that it will release a Mario Red Edition Nintendo Switch OLED on October 6th. The hardware will launch 2 weeks before Super Mario Bros. Wonder and cost $350.
Or you could buy a PlayStation Portal for $200.
Or you could buy a Steam Deck.
Or, yeah.
In between the two.
I was saying, you know, I was trying to make an ironic statement here. Like, this is a bad
idea. And I was still trying to tell you a better value thing.
and you had to come in with, like, you could either get a Switch or a Steam Deck, which is a good value, or you could make a bad choice and be a dumb. And no one likes a dumb. They're a dumb piece of candy. They shouldn't exist.
Matt hates lollipops, confirmed. Number four, Arctic 7 has announced that it will be opening a new Barcelona studio in early 2024. Because I'm pretty sure they weren't just opening a new Barcelona.
Oh, Barcelona 2.
The facility will provide game development support and co-development services for clients. Number five, Konami has moved the launch window of Suikoden 1 and 2 HD Remaster, Gate Rune, and Duncan Unification Wars out of 2023, as everyone was tracking those.
They were, man.
Number six, Gamescom 2023 had 320,000 in-person visitors from over 100 countries. For reference, last year's attendance was 265,000. So we're going to go ahead and up that. By
yeah. Rookie numbers got to bump 60. Those up.
Starfield hit more than 230,000 concurrent players in its first 2 hours on Steam, despite only being in early access. Dragon's Dogma 2 will get new gameplay and information during the Tokyo Game Show. Just in case you were curious about Dragon's Dogma. And number nine, The Witcher new saga, codenamed Polaris, is increasingly becoming the company's main focus. Per CD Projekt Red, there are nearly 260 devs working on it. It's currently second to Phantom Liberty, which the majority of the staff will be moving to The Witcher when Phantom Liberty releases. Elder Scrolls 6 is officially in early development, 5 years after it was announced.
Fucking stupid.
Number 11, Riot Games League of Legends Esports Division still hasn't turned a profit, according to Riot, and they're doing a lot of weird shit with like LCS and whatever, so tune into that. Number 12, Activision Blizzard has announced that it will be rolling out new in-game voice chat moderation, which will be implemented in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. It will be using a system that uses Modulate's ToxMod, which detects harmful speech. While detection will be in real-time, responses to code of conduct violations may take some time to enact. And number 13, 2K and Gearbox have announced that the Borderlands Collection Pandora's Box brings all of the previous games to PlayStation, Xbox, and PC on September 1st today, while Borderlands 3 hits Nintendo Switch on October 6th. Wahoo! So, hey, it's been 7 days. What you up to?
Let's see here. Reading the book. Started a new book.
Ooh, new book.
Yeah, Cold War this time.
Ooh, yeah.
Just it's a rough one. The narrator, because I audiobook while I'm working. He reads. He has no emotion. He's a computer.
Oh,
so monotone? It's kind of rough. Yeah, it's a little rough. It's interesting though.
Monotone of relatively dry content.
Yeah,
coming out of Rise and Falls of the Third Reich.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. It's starting to get interesting. Watched the first three episodes of Ahsoka. My overall review is it's okay. It's not good. It's not bad.
I think that's about the best that I've heard so far, is that people have just been like, it's whatever.
Yeah, it's the I'm just, you know, I'm over the what were we calling it at work? Filoni baloney. Because it's a Dave Filoni show. And it's Filoni baloney.
Filoni baloney.
Pre-installing Starfield, so hopefully I'll actually play a video game for once in my life. And that's about it. That's about where I'm at in life.
Yeah, that is the kick, because I gotta get that pre-install ready for next week. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Got nothing else good to say. What have you been up to?
I've been up to what we in our podcast call the usual. World of Warcraft, played a little bit of CSR, talked about that already. I finished the three Warhammer books, so I think I'm going to get the fourth one and keep going until I lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at with that. Starfield on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Football Manager. I got back into my save. So I've been having that and like WoW going at the same time, that when I'm not doing something in WoW, I can keep doing the save.
I've been having the SnowRunner itch.
Ooh.
So I can understand that.
After you saw that snowplow, I understand.
Yeah, it's basically lab.
Go to the state fair, see a gigantic fucking snowblower, and you're like, you know what? I want to drive one of these.
I got to go deliver some.
And there's
cargo
supposed to be that other game from them coming out.
Expedition.
Yeah.
A Mudrunner game. I don't know what the release date is on that.
I don't either. But that would scratch the itch too, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure it would. At some point. Maybe on that one, when that comes out, assuming that hopefully it's on Game Pass, we should do a co-op thing and just fucking...
I mean, SnowRunner's on Game Pass right now.
It is. We should try it. It would be fun.
My mental would be broken so fast.
I think it would be entertaining to make you play it for a little bit to see...
I think I would definitely do it with the two of us.
To see what your thoughts are.
Because that's where like the key part would be. Is when I inevitably beach a truck, and then either you have to save me, or we lose 10 trucks trying to save the other one with some dumb-ass complicated...
I don't think...
pulley system.
I mean, the game is definitely not for... It's a niche game. It's not for
100%.
Everyone.
Yeah.
But
I know what it is, so it's not like I would actually even get like that frustrated. Like I would have the enjoyment of like doing the dumb things where I'd have that moment of just 5 minutes, like I can't believe I fucking just did this, and then okay, well, gonna go get another truck, I guess.
Yeah,
go get this one out.
Yeah, I mean that first time, like the first few times when you go to do something, you're like, oh yeah, that's easy, no problem, and then like an hour later, you're fucking three trucks deep and like you're stuck and you. You're like thinking about just resetting, and you're like, "What the fuck happened?" Like,
yeah. But it's having that same moment, then being able to look over at the other person and go, "We're both in this boat now," and be like, "Ah, I'm not here just hating myself." Because if it was just me, then I'd be so tempted to just reset and move on.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got then.
Anything? Starfield, obviously. Anything else coming up for you?
If I remember correctly, not. Right away. October's got a lot in it.
But yeah.
Not September. I'll have a new WoW patch next week as well. Small patch, though, not big patch.
Mm-hmm.
0.7. So whenever 0.2 comes out, so 10.2 will be the next big patch, but they don't even have a date yet. I'm assuming that'll be either in October or early November. I'm guessing October, because but I can't tell if they want to. That's the problem. I can't tell if they want to get it done before BlizzCon or after BlizzCon. And that's the. I don't know, there's no way they do it during BlizzCon, right? Right.
When do they announce next plans?
When the patch comes out next week, I think we'll basically be able to kind of tell a little bit more. Because then the next number patch they would push to PTR. Is 10.2. 10.2 is already there, but it's an encrypted build that people can't see.
Yeah.
So when 0.7 comes out, well, the next live patch that would start being tested is 0.2. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they'll be testing Raid or anything else, but that means that the next time they moved PTR forward would be for 0.2. So it's only a matter of time at that point till everybody starts hunting and data mining and they have to actually have like a conversation of here's the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially because they plan raid times and like raid testing and all that stuff. So we'll see.
Yeah. We'll talk about it as always.
Oh, as always. And I'll be playing it as always. All right. But until then, we'll see you guys in 7 days. Toodaloo.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.